According to the International Spy Museum, and this is found in Washington, D.C., there are more than 10,000 spies in that city alone. And the FBI agrees with this premise, and their spokesman said D.C. is normally the place where most countries send their best spies. Now, the majority of these spies targeting the U.S. government are foreign-born, but there are some native-born Americans working for our enemies. Well, we know that Israel used spies when they first came to the Promised Land, but sadly, they weren't an asset. They were really a liability. But let's see how that changed 40 years later as they prepared to begin their conquest of the Promised Land. Now, God truly honored the amazing faith of Joshua and the Israelites as they obediently followed what seemed like absurd instructions for the defeat of Jericho. Jericho's walls did come tumbling down, but not all the faith was outside the city. Inside this double-walled, 8-acre city called Jericho lived a woman named Rahab. She is called Rahab the harlot in James chapter 2, verse 25. And her story is included in the Hebrews 11 catalog of the heroes of the faith. Now, only one other woman is specifically listed here, and her name is Sarah, Abraham's wife. Now, it doesn't surprise us that Sarah made the cut, because she has quite the spiritual resume. Remember the miraculous birth of Isaac. But what about Rahab? Well, from a strictly human perspective, Sarah and Rahab had nothing in common. But from a divine viewpoint, Rahab, like Sarah, exercised saving faith in the one true and living God. For Rahab believed that Israel's God dried up the Red Sea when the Jews came out of Egypt. Rahab believed that Israel's God destroyed Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites. And Rahab believed that Israel's God is the God in heaven above and on the earth beneath. And so why not abandon the false gods of Canaan and identify with Yahweh and his people? Friends, we want to study this heroine of the faith today under the following 3 points. Point number one, Rahab, the person of faith. Point number two, the scarlet cord, the protection of faith. And point number three, salvation, the prize of faith. Point number one, Rahab, the person of faith. Now let's begin with some background. Israel's faithless generation was now gone. As God had promised, they all died in the wilderness. And God also had buried Moses in one of the valleys of Moab, which meant that Joshua was now Israel's leader. And so it was his responsibility to lead Israel to possess the promised land. But in order for this mission to succeed, they first needed to destroy the strategically located city of Jericho. And you say, well, why Jericho? Well, Jericho really divided the north and the south. And so if you could take out Jericho, then you could take your military operation both the north and south. And so Jericho had to be destroyed first. And Joshua prepared to do so by first sending 2 spies to scout out the city and the territory around Jericho. Now, we aren't told who these secret agents were, but Jewish speculation and tradition tell us they were Caleb and the high priest Eliezer. Now, Joshua chapter 2, verse 1 describes the spies' tasks, which again was to secretly view the land, which included the city of Jericho. But their strategy, their cover to stay anonymous, failed. Maybe their James Bond sunglasses gave them away. Maybe one of their mustaches fell off. I don't know. But these Israelites were discovered, and the king of Jericho was notified of their presence and their location. They were in the house of a prostitute named Rahab. Notice verse 1 and then verse 2. And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. Now the age-old question is, why do these men, these godly men, you think of Caleb, you think of Eliezer, if they were the two men, I mean, we're talking godly people, why would they go to the home of a prostitute? Well, one author answers, I quote, lodging in such a place was characteristic of traveling merchants, and the spies felt their chances of escaping notice were best served there, end of quote. But as we all know, they were sighted, they were found out. And so there had to be a better reason for such a stay, why God directed them to the house of a prostitute. Could it be because God saw in this sinful woman a heart, a faith that yearned to believe him and to turn from her sinful ways? And her actions prove this true, for when the king of Jericho, verse 3, sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country, Rahab did everything in her power to hide and protect these spies, which we see in verses 4 through 6. And the woman took the two men and hid them and said, thus there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of the shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house, hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. Friends, isn't it wonderful to see how God was drawing this sinful woman to himself? A woman yearning to know the powerful God she had heard so much about. A woman yearning to be free from the emptiness and slavery of her immorality. God is still seeking and saving those yearning to be free. I ask, do you have a yearning heart? God is looking for yearning hearts. Now, in the culture of that day, there was a strong tradition of hospitality. If someone was a guest in your home, you had a responsibility to protect and care for them. Well, Rahab did that to the point she put her own life on the line. Now we ask, as she did so, is the Bible here condoning lying? Is God saying dutiful lying is excusable in such a situation? Well, let me simply say the Bible reports Rahab's lie. It doesn't praise it. It doesn't justify it. It doesn't excuse it. It simply reports it. Now, if she had chosen to tell the truth, I truly believe God would have somehow still preserved the life of those spies. However, we must remember that Rahab was a pagan sinner in a city and a culture wholly given over to the worship of false gods and immorality. Remember, their cup of iniquity was full. That was the cultural air she breathed. But still her heart wanted to believe and follow Israel's God, which God saw and which he would soon honor. Which prompts me to say, we all have our failures. We all stumble. We all have our setbacks. We all fall. But when God sees in you and me a heart that truly does want to trust and obey him, he does show himself strong on our behalf. He continues to draw us. He does continue to seek us. And so let me ask you, before we move on to point number 2, what is your heart saying right now to God? Do you have a heart that is yearning for God? Do you have a heart that wants to believe and follow God? That was the heart of Rahab. the person of faith. Which brings us to our second point, and that is the scarlet cord, the protection of faith. Now, Rahab's declaration of faith is clearly confessed in verses 8 through 11, for it is here she stated, I know that the Lord has given you the land. I know that he is the God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Now, we ask, well, how would Rahab come to such faith as a prostitute in this pagan city? Well, one theologian writes, the people who in Rahab's time most frequently used such houses of prostitution were traveling merchants. From them she had heard of the marvelous nation which was approaching from Egypt and of the God of Israel who had performed such striking miracles. Friends, what Rahab heard about the one true and living God and the people who followed him, she really believed. Though she was encased by her ancient pagan culture, she still believed. And surely Rahab's example tells us that there is hope for everyone and anyone, even in our pagan American culture. Friends, God is still saving souls. You and I can still believe. If Rahab believed with her background, what excuse do you have? If Rahab can believe, you and I can believe as well. When Jesus came to the Pharisees, he said in Matthew chapter 21, Verily I say unto you that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him. Friends, there's no one, again, too lost, too ignorant, too sinful to be saved. The gospel clearly says, Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The gospel says, Whosoever will may come. The gospel says, I am come to call sinners, not the people who think they're righteous, not the people who think I don't need Jesus, but I am come to call sinners to repentance. The gospel says, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Friends, it is vital that you believe. Now, we talk about it all the time. Just call upon Jesus to be your Savior, and you will be saved. And I have done that, and I trust you have done that. But it's more than just simply praying a prayer. We need to believe, and God can give us the faith to believe. Do you have a yearning heart? Do you have a heart that wants to believe? You can believe. You can proclaim amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but praise God, now I what? I see. You look and you what? Live. Again, Rahab's story tells us where sin abounded, God's amazing grace abounded more. Classic symbol that revealed Rahab's great faith was the scarlet cord that she hung from her window over the wall of Jericho. And verses 17 through 20 of Joshua 2 record that the two spies promised her and her family safety if she would display that cord of protection in her window. And her response, verse 21, according to your word, so be it. Well, after these spies left, the end of verse 21 states, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. Now, interestingly, the Hebrew word for rope is the same word for hope. And so, because Rahab confessed Jehovah as her scarlet rope, she now possessed a hope in being delivered by God. Now, the red color of this rope is significant, for it reminds us of the blood of Jesus. And just as the blood on the doorposts in Egypt marked the homes that the death angel was to pass over, so the scarlet rope marked the home which the Jewish soldiers were to pass over, were to protect. And again, the amazing grace of faith, the protection of faith. Don't you think it would do our hearts good to frequently say, Lord Jesus, thank you that your shed blood continually protects me from God's judgment on my sins. Remember, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Make sure you are in Christ Jesus. You will not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, we come now to our last point, salvation, the prize of faith. And we see here three rewards. First, because of Rahab's faith, Israel was encouraged. Let me say that again. Because of Rahab's faith, Israel was encouraged. Notice the last two verses of Joshua 2. So the two men returned and descended from the mountain, passed over and came to Joshua the son of Nun, and told him all things that befell them. And they said unto Joshua, truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. Friends, Israel was strengthened by the miraculous deliverance and the report given to these two spies through Rahab. It matters that you believe. Do you know that your faith in Jesus affects those around you? Dads, moms, do you know that your faith in Jesus affects, influences your children? And if God blesses you with grandchildren, you truly are blessed. I want my faith, the faith that God has given to me by His grace, nothing that I did to deserve it, but I want my faith, my walk with Jesus, to be an influence for righteousness over my family. I want my life to affect your life. If Pastor Lane can live for Jesus, I can live for Jesus as well. Rahab's faith encouraged a nation. Think about that. A prostitute's faith encouraged the deliverance of Jericho to the Israelites. Wow. Faith is strong. Faith makes a difference. Faith moves mountains. Second, because of Rahab's faith, she was saved. Now, this salvation came initially as physical salvation, and we see that in Joshua chapter 6, verse 22. But Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father, her mother and her brethren, and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot and her father's household and all that she had. And she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Think about this. Because of Rahab's faith, she was saved. Because of Rahab's faith, her entire family was saved. Parents, it matters that you have faith. Thereafter, as she joined with Israel, she completely believed and became a full member of God's covenant people. And then, because of Rahab's faith, her third reward was glorification. Not only did she live in Israel the rest of her life, but she married an Israelite and became an ancestor of Jesus. Wow! And Matthew's genealogical record of our Lord bears out this incredible truth. Matthew chapter 1, verse 4, and Amram begat Amminadab, and Amminadab begat Naasson, and Naasson begat Salmon, and Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab, and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David the king, and of course, David from David came the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. An interesting fact here, Naasson, Rahab's father-in-law, was one of the 12 princes who made a special offering at the raising of the tabernacle. And you can find that in Numbers chapter 7. Put your thinking cap on. This Amorite prostitute became a believer and then the wife of a prince of Judah. And Rahab became a princess and an ancestor of Christ. Friends, it is so true, God honors those who honor him. Ask yourself, is my life honoring God? From prostitute to princess, only God can bring that to pass. Only God can write such a redemption story. Friends, it's called the amazing grace of our Lord. Friends, there's no other religion that has such stories to tell. There's no other religion that has amazing grace, the amazing grace of our Lord. And so we read in Hebrews 11:31, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe not when she received the spies with peace. And James 2:25 adds, likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and sent them out another way? In other words, she proved her faith by how she lived. Friends, it pays to trust and obey the living God. And when we are that person of faith in Christ, we too come under the scarlet protection of the blood of Christ, which cleanses us from all sin, which cleanses us from all unrighteousness, which then provides us with the prize of faith. We shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Friends, eternity is a long time. Eternity is a long time. You want to make sure that Jesus is your scarlet rope. You have no hope without the blood of Christ washing your sins away. And one day, we too will be glorified. Remember, Romans 8 speaks about whom God justified, them he also what? Glorified. This corruptible will put on incorruption. This mortal will put on immortality. And so shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I love how Paul describes our reward, our prize, our salvation. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God has commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And then the end of the chapter says this, for as by one man's disobedience, and that man, of course, was Adam, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That's why it's called amazing grace. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. You may be faithfully serving the Lord right now and not seeing many results. You say, well, Pastor, is it worth it? But dear brother, dear sister, don't despair. God is working, and one day you will see that your devotion and faith did make a difference for eternity. Hang in there. Hang in there. It will make a difference. Friends, in this story, we see the extent God went to bring one woman and her family to salvation, someone seemingly impossible to save. And that work of grace shouts at me that God's hand is not too short. God's hands are not too weak to save whoever comes to him by faith. Remember, with God, all things are what? Possible. And so I say, let the Amen sound from his people again.